Now Trending, the latest in lifestyle with Andrea Elias and Orla Johannes on CJAD 800. Brought to you by Land Rover Laval. What are you driving? Let's talk.
Welcome back. I'm Orla alongside Andrea. Now, I don't know about you, but I need my sleep. I'm a zombie without it. It has been known a previous boyfriend did call me a little gremlin if I didn't get my sleep. It is very important to us, and we only realize we are sleep deprivated when it is gone. We don't realize the importance of it. Joining us now is Dr. DiLiello from Cardiogenics. Welcome back, doctor.
Hi, thank you. Good afternoon.
So, Dr. DiLiello, how does lack of sleep affect our body and mind, apart from being, like, you know, grumpy?
Yeah, so this is a great question. So we have the tendency to think of sleep as this time for the mind to relax and unwind, but it's in fact the opposite. So for the mind, sleep is this active time where we focus on memory consolidation, processing, strengthening. So it's really important. So as you could expect, one of the most prominent effects of sleep deprivation is cognitive impairment. So we tend to be less alert, with reduced ability to sustain attention, our reflexes dulled. What's even scarier is that in the moment, we're largely unaware of these cognitive deficits. So it leads to increased accidents, more workplace errors. You know, it's one of the main reasons why medical interns are no longer able to do 24-hour shifts. Aside from that, there's higher rates of depression and anxiety, decreased quality of life, and even our immunity goes down. So we're more susceptible to things like the common cold and poor heart health.
So ideally, how much sleep should the average person be looking to get each night?
So sleep will really vary from person to person and across the lifespan. So if you take in consideration this variability, the National Sleep Foundation will recommend about 8 to 10 hours a night for teenagers and between 7 and 9 hours for adults.
Yeah. If I don't get 8 hours sleep, Dr. DiLiello, I'm a bit grumpy.
Impossible.
So it might sound like a silly question, but how do you know if you're getting enough sleep, assuming that we all don't need the same amount?
Andrew, move into my house.
Oh my God,
because my kids are up every night.
Yeah, so that's it. It's exactly that you're going to feel like over time that you're making more and more mistakes, that your kind of acuity, your sharpness of your thoughts aren't really there. Apart from that, I mean, people will tell you, you might be a little bit more irritable, short-tempered, things like that.
And forgetful, too. I know, like, Orla and I both worked on the morning show here, so we were up, you know, between 3:30 and 4:30 in the morning.
Oh my goodness.
It wasn't until I stopped doing those hours that I realized how forgetful I had become. And then, you know, slowly over time, I think, anyways, my memories come back.
Yeah. Exactly.
One thing I always find, like I have a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old, as many people know, right now, like it's been months and months and months, I'm up once a night, every night. Interrupted sleep. How does this impact us over a long period, apart from it being really, really annoying?
It's true, Orla. I mean, the more we understand it, that proper sleep is not just the quantity of sleep, but also the quality. So during the night, our bodies will go through different stages of sleep. So if one stage is interrupted, you know, by a restless toddler or trips to the bathroom, anxious thoughts, you know, you may never get into that deep restorative sleep that occurs during the later stages. So there are some studies that even show that interrupted sleep could be even worse than not enough sleep. So this could lead to emotional distress, you know, again, poor academic and work performance, lower attention span. And over the long term could lead to things like heart disease and metabolic disease as well.
You're listening to Now Trending. I'm Andrea Elias alongside Orla Johannes, and we are speaking with Dr. DiLiello from Cardiogenics Medical Center about sleep. I read recently that sort of disconnecting from electronics before bedtime, you know, whether it be a smartphone or an iPad, was really helpful in terms of getting a better quality sleep. And I've started doing that, and I have noticed that I feel more rested in the morning and I'm not waking up in the middle of the night, and I do feel like I'm in a deeper sleep. Do you have any tips for people who are trying to get into a better sleep pattern and have better quality sleep?
Oh, absolutely. So when it comes to getting back on track, we're really talking about proper sleep hygiene. So consistency is key. So as a first step, you want to try to ensure an optimal sleep environment. So this is usually a cool, dark room. Get rid of the laptops, the TV, the tablets, all that, because your brain should really be conditioned to using the bed for two things and two things only: sleep and sex. That means no eating, no working, no Netflix, nothing else. As much as possible, you want to try to stick to the sleep schedule, you know, same bedtime, same wake-up time, even on the weekends. They recommend staying hydrated during the day, but not to drink more than a glass of water within an hour of going to bed. And I recommend cutting the caffeine out after around 2 o'clock.
What about for people who do shift work, where the routine is almost impossible?
So that's true. Shift workers are so important to our society. We have policemen, firemen, nurses, health workers. And there is, to a certain extent, some risks with shift worker, putting us at higher risks over the long run. Honestly, as much as possible to try to keep that consistency. You can't control your schedule all the time, but what you can control is the environment that you're in, the caffeine, the alcohol that you're intaking, other things that may have an effect on your overall sleep.
Dr. DiLiello, can lack of sleep and being tired cause people to overeat? Is there a link there?
Absolutely, absolutely. So in fact, if you look at it, lack of sleep has been shown to cause weight gain. So there's evidence that in certain countries where the average sleep time is shorter, there's higher percentages of people with obesity. On top of overeating, we know that some of the fatigue from insomnia leads to lack of energy and less exercise, so it really could be detrimental.
And then you want to reach for the chocolate bar to give you that sugar rush to wake you up again, and it becomes a vicious circle.
Absolutely true.
So if you don't speak or say what you need to say before my husband hits the pillow, forget it. You have 30 seconds to say what you need to say. I would love to fall asleep within 30 seconds. Any tips that I could use to fall asleep instantly?
Oh, that's not it. Not really.
Well, at least you're honest.
Really, yeah, it's really just to ensure that proper sleep hygiene. I mean, some people will use different sleeping agents like melatonin, and they really swear by that. Honestly, I think less is best, and just ensuring those good habits over time.
What about for people who do take sleep aids, like more, let's say, stronger ones, like, you know, an Ativan or a CBD or something like that? Does that affect the quality of sleep that they're having?
It does. So oftentimes those are really used to help people fall asleep and put you into sleep, but they don't really help maintain your sleep. So oftentimes they'll be up frequently anyways, you know, leaning towards taking another medication or just not having a good, decent sleep. So over the long run, it could really lead to some detrimental sleep habits.
Dr. DiLiello, just before we go, it's summer vacation. A lot of people are suffering from jet lag. Any tips to cope with getting back into the routine?
This dreaded jet lag, absolutely. So there are some things, and it really depends on what direction you're going to be traveling in. So if you're traveling east, say to Europe or China, starting 3 days before your trip, you want to try to make your bedtime and wake-up time 30 minutes earlier each day. So if you normally wake up at 7 in the morning, you know, you wake up at 6:30, 6, and then 5:30 on the day of travel. And if you normally go to bed around 11, you want to go to bed at 10:30, 10, and then 9:30. If you're going west, so to BC or to Hawaii, starting 3 days beforehand, you want to wake up 30 minutes later each day. In terms of other things, like on the day of travel, you want to adjust your watch to the destination time zone before you even board the plane. And everything you do from now on will be dependent on that time. So again, if you're going east, you want to avoid bright lights in the early morning. So it may mean keeping the window shades on the plane down, wearing an eye cover or even sunglasses. And while you're at that destination, try to get as much sunlight in the early afternoon. If you're going west, it's the opposite. You want to try to avoid that bright light in the nighttime hours and get as much as you can in the afternoon.
I'm going to try all those
things. That's fascinating.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. If it's a little bit complicated, there's a lot of interesting tech. So there's some apps you could download on your smartphone that help guide you through your jet lag. So a popular one is called Time Shifter. It essentially gives you a sleep, light, caffeine schedule to follow and just kind of, you know, ease you through that jet lag.
Dr. DiLiello, thank you so much for joining us today. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Pleasure is mine. Thank you.
That's Dr. DiLiello from Cardiogenics Medical Center.